that accommodates every type of traveler. I could not be more excited to be a member of the Wingtips Lounge, located in Terminal 2 at the St. Louis Lambert International Airport. Complimentary amenities include creative small bites, Caldi's coffee, organic teas, beer, wine, and spirits. The lounge features high-speed Wi-Fi, wireless printing capabilities, in-lounge restrooms, and power outlets at every seat. Wingtips offers single-visit passes or annual memberships. Stop by before your next flight.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the ray. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh. Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh. Well, all right then.
Ah!
Yeah, that hurt.
Ah!
That hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah, it feels so good, does it?
Ah!
No, huh?
Oh!
Yeah, that's what happens, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Ah!
Where's my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man? Where's the money? Yeah, you like that? That feel good? That feel good? Where's the money, man? Where's my money? You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
Crossed over.
All right. Now. All right. Now I'm concerned.
What?
I'm concerned about Limey.
Why?
You hear him laughing when that guy's being tortured?
Oh, that.
He actually kind of got a big kick out of that guy being. No, I'm serious. It's stop the music for a second. Just stop the music. Do we? Hang on one second.
Yeah.
Does 590 have a station psychiatrist? We don't. All right, go hire one. All right. Randy, listen to me. Just do it, okay?
Who is it?
No, hang on. I'm talking to Randy. Just do it. Just go get a psychiatrist, okay? Do what I tell you.
All right. We're going to find a psychiatrist for Limey because he was laughing in the background. Guy's getting his brains beat out. That's funny stuff. I think the whole audience is concerned about you now, Limey.
Do you have violent
history in your life?
I do not have any violent tendencies that I know of.
No, I mean, have you been a victim in the House of Violence?
No,
did you think it's funny?
The House of Violence.
Remember.
Well, that's a movie. Yeah. House of Violence. In a world of safe and mundane, thank goodness there's the House of Violence. You can start the theme music back if you want to.
All sunny the street.
Oh, boy.
Well, I was...
I'll tell you, that surprised me. I thought you were like a peaceful kind of guy.
I am a peaceful kind of guy.
You enjoy torture.
But,
Torture. You know that girl that you're trying to date? If she heard that and heard you laughing at that, she'd go, I'm not going out with him. He'll beat me up.
I thought maybe that was a transcript of the date.
You got my money?
Yeah. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the March... two days before the Ides of March, the March 13th edition of Pinions Playhouse. Welcome. We're glad to have you here. I'm not going to apologize for what you had to hear a while ago, that horrible, violent beating, but Limey thought it was funny.
It's Tuesday.
And,
realize it's Tuesday the 13th.
Now, see, this is another thing where Tim, look at him, sitting here going, what was that? Tuesday the 13th. Tim, we don't know what it is. We've been doing it for 25 years. We don't know. We just do some things we do. We have no idea why we do them. They're stupid, and that's why we like them. So that eventually you'll actually find yourself joining in and playing along. And one day, Tim, you will say, hey, you know what today is? It's Thursday the 6th. And you won't even know why you're doing it.
You know, it's funny you say that because when you were talking to Randy, I do a Randy imitation. The next time you want Randy to miraculously and instantaneously appear in studio to scorn Limey or for any other reason, just let me know. I'll bring him in.
You'll play his part?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll actually bring him in. I'm sorry. I mean, you'll bring him
right,
in.
Yeah, I'll bring him in. I can bring him in. I'll just snap my fingers. I'll bring him in.
Almost gave the bit away.
Right.
This is an interesting day for me. I mean, not anything earth-shaking, but I told a joke yesterday, and I've told that joke, I don't know, for like 8 or 10 years, I guess, and never complained, and I got one complaint. Now, what's really interesting is I had just scribbled down like a little note to mention the joke and the complaint, and not 5 minutes ago, I just went and checked my email, and here is an email from the same woman who complained, essentially taking back the complaint and saying, you know what, you're right, it was a joke. And I got to tell you something, I want to give that woman a round of applause, because I like a person who is willing to admit that they overreacted. Now, the joke yet, now, I have to tell it, because people listening who didn't hear it, go, what joke? What joke? It was the joke where...
it was my favorite joke of all time, by the way, Frank. You forgot to tell that part.
He sent me a text, favorite joke ever. Oh, Tim, there's more to come. There's more to come. So she sends me this text, and essentially, here's the joke. A kid walks in on his parents, He's traumatized. I mean, he sees him doing it, and he's never, oh my goodness. And his dad actually thinks it's kind of funny that he's so shook up by it. And the kid doesn't appreciate that his dad kind of chuckled when he walked in on him. So a couple of days later, dad goes down the hall, and he hears some noises. He opens the door, and this young man, 12 years old, is doing it with his grandmother. And his dad is horrified, and he looks up at his dad, and he goes, yeah, not so funny when it's your mom, is it? So, there you go, thank you. So I get an email from this lady, and I'm going to mention her name, and she says that joke was basically said it was offensive, and that incest is not funny. So I wrote her back, and I said, I couldn't agree with you more. Incest is not funny, but that joke was funny. And I gave her an example of how you should learn to separate, you know, a joke from saying something that implies you condone, incest or whatever. And I said, you know, years ago, I told a joke about a drunk. And it was a drunk walks out of a bar. And I got an email from a lady, and she said, you think that's funny? She says, drunk jokes, there's nothing funny about drunks. A drunk driver killed, you know, my sister. So I wrote her back, and I said, I'm really sorry about what happened to you, and I think what it's done is made you overly sensitive to anything about drunks or any joke. But the truth is, it's a joke. And there are 50 or 60, easily, jokes about drunks. Drunks being stopped by cops. And drunks who, if you take it literally... Yeah, we don't want those people on the road. But it's a situation that never really happened. It's a joke. So here's what's going to happen today. To the lady who complained, thank you, because seriously, you really don't realize what you did for me. What you did for me was this. Every once in a while, I find myself giving in to political correctness or to maybe not doing something I was going to do because I think, well, you know, it might offend somebody. I don't want to do that. And when I catch myself doing it, I don't like it because I'm tired of 4 or 5 people deciding what everybody else should hear or should find acceptable or should find offensive. So I'm going to tell a joke today that I haven't told for at least 5 years. Dan knows the joke. He'll know it as soon as I start it. But I haven't told it, and here's why. When I did tell it, I never once got a complaint. But for whatever reason, about 5 years ago, maybe it was something in the news, and I thought, I better not tell that joke. And now I'm kind of disappointed in myself that I did that. Because when you tell a joke and lots of people hear it, lots of people, and nobody has ever complained, then I'm going to tell it. Now, if I tell it today and get complaints, I'll ignore them, and I'll tell you why. What I've just done is set the stage for a couple of jokesters to email me going, that was offensive. So it won't carry any weight with me. Don't even bother. But I'm going to tell the joke. And it's a joke like drinking jokes, or like the kid doing his grandmother. It's a joke. The actual subject matter, no. In reality, nobody condones it, and that's all I'm going to tell you, or I'll give the joke away. So you might want to be around about 5:35, because it's a really funny joke. And the other one that I have not told for years, and Dan knows this. Dan's been with me a long time. And Dan, it's the joke where the little boy is crying, and he's scared.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes.
And now, I will tell you something. Oh. That one, I decided to not tell, because that really does go right up to the edge. But the funny thing is, I never got a complaint when I was telling it.
Yeah.
But it's about a guy taking a little boy in the woods, and that's all I'm going to tell you. So I don't tell anymore. But I am going to tell the other one, and I hope if I ever get to the point where I am on a regular basis, editing or changing things I do because I think somebody, singular or a couple of people, might be offended, then I need to quit, because I don't want to do that. I just don't. I don't want to perpetuate and cause what I think is already a problem to become even worse by allowing a couple of people to change the course of things. The other thing I will tell you is that this is a very responsive audience, and I get emails. There's not a day. I've never gone to look at my inbox and any day and go, nobody emailed today. No listeners emailed. That never happens. It's not going to happen. And people are quick to let me know if I've crossed the line, and I have crossed it on a few occasions. And when I go to that inbox and I see even 8 or 10 emails from people going, well, you know what? I didn't appreciate that. It wasn't funny. That gets my attention. Not one, but multiple emails, all with the same reaction. Then I think, okay, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. So I've had to apologize over the years, not for anything illegal or FCC violation, just something that was maybe a little insensitive. And I'll be happy to do it again if it happens, but not over this kind of thing. So good joke coming up. Now, before we go to the work segment, Dan Buffa will be here in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about movies and such. Woo-hoo! Does anybody, I agree. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Well,
all right.
Mr. Lover of Violence and Torture, before you do the Burke segment, now, I'm not going to ask the question. Here now is Trevor Limey Phillips, all yours.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Tonight is the date between me and this girl I was talking to, the one I mentioned yesterday. So,
yeah. What's her first name?
First name is Maggie, and I shall report back tomorrow.
You just said something interesting. You used the word shall, which I would expect that from a British person with a British accent. Does anybody in this room know anybody who ever uses the word shall?
I do.
You know who uses it?
I do. Like
you do? Well, okay, no. I mean, besides him.
Oh. No.
Who does?
No, I don't.
My mother-in-law does, which is a real surprise, because she's just a very sort of, not well-educated, doesn't speak in a formal tone. For some reason, she uses the word shall. And I just wondered, how did she pick that up? And where did that come from? Because she's, most of her years have been over in the Belleville area, and, she, in her speaking, is like most people. She makes grammatical errors. Her grammar is not exactly perfect. Most people's is not. Yet, she'll say something so formal like, okay, I shall. And I don't know.
It's proper.
Maybe it's the influence of the royal family and all this Harry and what's the gal's name he's going to marry?
Meghan Merkel? No.
Yeah, did you see there's already a movie? They've already shot a movie.
What?
About Andrew and Harry and Andrew's, and now this woman, I mean, they jumped right on this thing already.
Wow, they are not messing around.
No.
Wow.
So that was your contribution?
Yes, that is my contribution.
Tonight's the date. Now what time is the date? After we get off at 6, what time is the date?
The date is at 7 o'clock, so that gives me time to run home, let my dog out real quick, throw on some aftershave, and fly
out. No, don't throw it on. Strategically put it on. Not too much, not too little. What kind of aftershave are you going to be using?
English leather.
Well,
I'm not going to be using English leather.
Tim may be joking, but I'm going to tell you something. The English leather smells like a man. That smells like a man.
There's a box of it in Limey's drawer here at the studio. That's mine.
Oh, that's mine.
That answers a lot of questions right now.
I haven't taken it home yet. No, Lister sent it to me.
Okay, sorry.
Lister sent it. That was the first cologne as a kid that I ever had. My Aunt Frida, when I turned 12, and she had a thick Southern accent. She said, well, now you are a man now. You're 12. You're not a little kid anymore, and the girls are going to stop me, and you're going to start liking girls. You need to smell good. And so she gives me this present. I open up, English leather, big old wooden knob for a top. I took that stuff home, and she was right. I felt like a man. So, Limey,
yeah.
What kind of aftershave do you think you'll be using?
It's called Invictus, and it's pretty nice.
Whoa.
That sounds manly.
Invictus. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, it sounds like a Spartan-type Roman, going up against our champion gladiator is Invictus. So that sounds pretty manly. Yeah. Don't overdo it, though.
I'm not going to overdo it. I'm just going to, just a little bit, just so it gets her attention, but doesn't make me stink.
Mm. Now, will you bring up the fact that you are a broadcaster and a radio, sort of radio star?
Or he's already done that, I think.
She already heard yesterday. Yeah, that knows. Has already been established.
Oh, she heard the show.
Which yeah. I Ooh. Got, let me just say, I got huge brownie points Whoa. For that yesterday.
So she did hear it, and you've talked to her since, and she really enjoyed hearing her name and hearing you talk about it.
She did, and you actually Whoa. Saying hello, Maggie, to her, that was Whoa. Just even like, that just bumped it up an extra notch.
Well, let me share something with you. A lot of times, women use people like you to get to me. That could be what's going on here. That could be.
It could be.
I'm just telling the truth. Oh my God. It's happened to me numerous times.
To see you on
well, I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear you're going to dinner, you said, I think?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell us where.
Going to dinner and hopefully drinks now, afterwards.
Yeah. Now, will you try to take her to your place? I mean, you have a place.
I will probably not try to take her back to my place.
Probably not.
Now, if she makes the first aggressive move and sort of like green light to home plate, would you think, how should I put this?
It's
you
on.
Be kind of put off by that. You think, oh, she's too easy. How far do you expect to get? Is she listening right now?
I don't think Probably. She's listening right now. She might not okay. be. She does know that the okay. show has started. Hopefully, she's working.
Okay, good. So, how far realistically would you like to get tonight? First base, second base.
Realistically, not a. Home
you really
run.
Don't want. Yeah, I don't want that.
No, I don't want a home run on the first date because that
That says that she does that with everybody. Yeah, you know? Too easy. Right. Yeah,
there's always fun if there's a little more challenge there. I would be happy with having some drinks, maybe a nice kiss on the cheek or something, or an actual kiss. I'm just saying, sometimes ladies they're just like sweet, give you a peck on the cheek, that's all right. I'm okay with being a gentleman this evening, doing it properly.
Now you were actually married.
Well, I was. I was.
For how long? It wasn't
2 years.
It was
about 2 years.
Now and how long since you've actually had a girlfriend, like a real girlfriend,
like an actual girlfriend?
Yeah, somebody you dated for a while.
3 or 4 months, I would say.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I dated for like a long time. Yeah, about 3 or 4 months.
Hey, Frank, check the phone.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
Yeah, is that
I
like?
I don't know.
I saw that.
I don't
too.
Know.
Is that? I'm a little nervous.
Not sure.
Well, let's
I saw
just
that
see
name
if,
pop up.
Hang on here. Maggie, are you there?
Yeah, just Trevor.
Thank God. Maggie, you got a really deep voice.
Maggie P standing up.
I wouldn't have expected you to sound like this. How's it going, Maggie?
Oh, it's going great. I am so excited for tonight.
Well, now, Maggie, I don't mean to get too personal, but did you have some kind of throat cancer or an issue? Are you a heavy smoker or what's going on here?
Maggie's got hair on her back.
I mean, I smoke a little bit.
Well, Maggie, we never expected you to call in today. This is a treat. Maybe we could get Maggie a report from you tomorrow about how the date went.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will be the first to tell you every detail about tonight.
Wow, that's just exciting.
And, all right, well, Maggie, real quick, I don't know if we talked yet about where you thinking of taking me, but I really, really like going to the GC.
The GC?
Granite City? Yeah, on Olive? I was just there Sunday.
Good. Really? No, that's the Golden Corral.
Oh!
Oh! Now, Limey sort of described you too. Would you describe yourself to us, if you would?
Well, I'm 100% lady.
Well, you sure sound like it.
Pardon me, I had a joke there. I'm a little, I'm a little husky.
Husky? Well, Golden Corral.
BBW.
That chocolate fountain is the best, I tell you. Yeah.
Well, Limey, you better take a little extra cash.
Yeah.
I got a feeling she's going to want two or three desserts here. So, Maggie, now Limey may have told us, but I don't remember. What do you do? Limey, what does Maggie do for a living?
She actually hasn't told me yet.
Maggie, what do you do?
Well, I have different odd jobs here and there.
Odd jobs.
You know, I'm kind of in between things at the moment. You know, I lost my previous job, worked at a call center for a little while, and
call center.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. The hours were kind of rough. They wanted me to work like 9 hours a day, and I just thought that was kind of much.
Yeah, that is too much. Look at Limey. He'll set the example. He works 3 hours a day, 4 days a week. Stick with him. Maggie, thank you for calling in, and we look forward to his report and your report, and we'll see how they compare tomorrow.
Thank you, Limey. Have I got a good time in store for you tonight?
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you, Maggie.
Wow, how about that? She does have an unusual voice. Yeah. Are you going to be okay with that? Because sometimes a guy, everything about a woman, go, oh, yeah, and then they speak like Fran Drescher or like Maggie here, and they go, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know if I... Are you okay with that voice?
Yeah, I'm okay with that voice.
With the voice,
I'm sorry to hear that.
What the heck, man?
Disturbing.
With a voice like that, I bet she's just a spitting image of John Hadley.
Oh, man.
Wow. Okay, so your Burke segment contribution is done, right?
Thank you. Yep, it's done.
And anybody else have anything to say?
I don't.
I do, sir.
All right, this would be private investigator / newsman Tim Woodburn. Tim?
Thank you very much, Frank.
You're welcome.
I'd like the assistance of the 3-judge panel opinion, Phillips and Strauss, to determine whether or not I committed sexual harassment today.
All right.
We're here for you. We're experts.
Thank you. Go ahead. Thank you, 3-judge panel. I know I'll get a sound decision here.
Well, you're a white male, so I'm going to assume you did.
So I share a receptionist with about 30 other companies at my PI firm's office complex. She answers the phone in all of our names. And,
it must take a half an hour.
Well, literally, it's like Gateway Investigations, Limey's Escort, Strauss Mortgage, it's like, she just,
Limey's Escort.
It's just, each company, that's what she does. We all pay her, we all share in her salary. Mm-hmm. Very nice young lady. She's in her young 20s. And unbeknownst to me, for the last 9 months, she's been with child. But I never knew that because she sits at a desk when I walk in, and every time I walk in, I only see her from the neck up. And
now, wait, hold on. You never saw her stand up in the last 9 months? I guess that's possible.
Yeah. Actually, I did see her stand up a couple of occasions. And so today I did something for her that I want to see if you think qualifies as sexual harassment. The only time I ever saw her stand up is when she got up from the desk, and then I walked behind her to go to a conference room that she was opening up for me so that I could have a meeting. And I noticed, you know, in the last couple of months, you know, the backside's getting a little bigger, but, you know, that happens to the best of them. You know, it's no big deal. It's okay, whatever. But I didn't know that. And then she would just keep walking and go to the coffee room and the break room, and I would just go into my conference room and have my meeting. So I walk into the office a few weeks ago, and there's a card in my mail bin, and it's pictures. Chelsea had a baby boy. Congratulate everybody! Congratulate Chelsea on a baby boy. Thanks for everybody who chipped in on the gift from the office, which I didn't.
And you didn't even know about it, though.
I didn't know about it. They forgot to give me the notice that, you know, we're all chipping in for the deal here. All and right. So I felt like
they did it on purpose to make you look bad.
They probably did, and it did make me look bad. And I felt really bad about it. So today, on my way to the station today, I stopped and got her a gift card. And I didn't have any. Actually, I had gift cards in my office and at my home office.
To Babies R Us?
No, I didn't. I didn't. No.
Did the card say something like, "And I just thought you were fat"?
No, but the card did say something that I want to see if the three-judge panel here qualifies this as sexual harassment. So I walk in today, and the two landlords are there, and Chelsea's there at the desk, and I told her this exact story that I'm telling you guys right now. Chelsea, I had no idea you were pregnant. I mean, a couple times I saw you get up, and I thought your butt looked a little bit bigger, but I didn't know you were pregnant.
Did you say that?
I did say that. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not sexual harassment. If I told her butt looked hot, that'd be harassment. But if I tell her butt looks bigger, that's just being honest.
No.
Is that harassment? That's my first question.
No, he's got a point. He's got a point. That's not sexual harassment.
No, it's
just flat-out bad judgment and rude and insulting.
A bad choice of words.
So she laughed at it. But there's a second issue that may qualify as sexual harassment that I want the three-judge panel to chime in on. I got her a $15 gift card to a restaurant and another $15 gift card to a different restaurant. Well, I only had thank you cards in my PI office at home. I didn't have congratulations on your baby cards, right? And I didn't have time to stop and get her a card. So I put the two cards in a thank you card and wrote on there, congratulations on your baby. Thanks for all you've done for me, Tim Woodburn, and put the two cards there. Now, when you hand a woman a thank you card who's had a baby, I had to say to her in front of the two landlords, this is a thank you card. But that doesn't mean thank you for having my baby. I know this baby isn't mine. So, but I just want to make sure that's not harassment, handing somebody who just had a baby a thank you card.
No.
No, okay. Of course not.
If they understand you didn't have a baby card.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. I thought your butt was big.
Right.
That's not going to fly.
That's
I made sure I said that first before I gave her the card at the end, you know, to make up for the big butt comment.
And you said thank you.
No, you are in the clear, mate.
Okay. Thank you for all you do for me.
Right.
It's a thank you card.
Okay. All right. Good. So good.
No, you're fine.
I've led a harassment-free life then for 48 years and going. Thank you, Frank.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think you're clear on this one.
Good.
But just because something is not sexual harassment doesn't mean it was a good idea. Yeah, I just thought your butt was big. they don't like that. You know, they just don't like it.
Does my butt look big in these jeans? Well, as a matter of fact.
So, anything else? Anybody else? Dan, no?
No.
No, you said no. Okay, let's close it. Burke's segment is officially closed. All right. Now, I'm going to do a quick bit of business, then we'll kick some stuff around if you want, and you call us if you want to, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. That's how you get a hold of us at 590 The Fan. It is my pleasure, as it always is, to... I got an email this morning, and let me check quickly to see if she wrote me back. Okay, I asked her to let me know if I could share the email. So I'm going to do it without her name. Do you guys remember yesterday I read an email? It was a wonderful email about thank you. You make me laugh every day. It's so lovely. And she mentioned you guys by name.
Yeah.
You remember that? Well, the same person emails me this morning. Check this out. And she says, well, it looks like I may be getting to do some business with Johnny Londoff. And proceeds to tell me that as best they can tell, while she was composing the email last Thursday, which I read yesterday, somebody came right up to her driveway and stole her car. Broad daylight.
No.
This gets better. It gets better. In the car was a second key to her husband's car. Her husband comes home at 7:30. Now, she's never gone out to even realize her car is stolen because she said they had to make dinner and they bathe the kids or whatever. She never really knew the car was gone. And then her husband comes home at 7:30, and whoever this was, I guess, could tell this is a car key. It must be it's a different car. It must be her husband. Then they go up and steal his car. They steal both their cars in the same day.
No.
One earlier in the day, one. So she has neither car. They're both stolen. And so she says, I guess I'll be visiting Johnny Landoff. So I forward it on to John. He's going to contact her. But if that's true, boy, you talk about a bad day luck-wise. You get both your cars stolen, and they've recovered, I know at least one of them, she said. And, of course, these losers trashed the car, slashed the headrest, just destroyed it on the inside and some damage on the outside. And the sad part was, she said, the husband's car was his very first car ever, and he's hung on to it all these years. Oh. It's like his baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. That's so horrible. That brings me to Johnny Landoff. And the good news will be, and the silver lining to all this will be, if and when she does go to Johnny Landoff and start looking for a replacement car or cars, I'm guessing that experience will maybe won't obliterate what's happened or completely make up for it, but at least she's not going to have a bad experience with the car purchase. She's going to find that, you know, that one door closes, another opens, that all of this ultimately led to her getting to have a relationship with Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, which I think will continue. And I think after one purchase, she'll be locked in forever. And that happens a lot at Landoff. People go in there and buy one vehicle. Next thing you know, for the next 20, 30 years, then their kids buy one there because it's the experience people actually want to have when they go to buy a car. They want somebody who will treat them like they ought to be treated. They want somebody who understands what a big deal this is and is as excited about it as they are. That's Johnny Landoff. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, they have been in the same location since 1960. They have about 1,000 new cars in stock and hundreds of pre-owned. And if you're looking for something pre-owned and they don't have it, they will bust their butts to find it for you. That's how they operate. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County, of course, 24/7 at Landoff.com.
All right, time for a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Pier 1. Accident westbound 64 at Clarkson. Olive is cleared. Eastbound 64 jams Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 44 backing up between Southwest and Shrewsbury. Save up to 30% now with the Pier 1 Spring Dining and Easter Sale. Up to 30% off dinnerware, drinkware, dining tables, chairs, and Easter decor. Give your home that unique look you want for spring and save up to 30% at Pier 1 through March 31st. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Hey, Blues fans, catch the weekly Blues Report with my partner Kelly Chase, fueled by Petromart on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Start all your pregame festivities at Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues and a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline. Petromart, clean, fast, and friendly.
At Gateway Motorsports Park, our mission is to provide our fans, racers, and sponsors with a first-class, up-close, and personal racing experience. This includes unprecedented access to the drag strip, the oval, the road racing track, and a nationally sanctioned karting track, as well as special events such as concert and corporate functions for year-round activities. For more information, visit gatewaymsp.com or call 314-304-6800. Gateway Motorsports Park. It's a new day. Race Gateway.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
More fresh thinking from Schnucks. One of our teammates, Sherry, has decorated over 1,000 freshly baked cakes for birthdays, graduations, and other special occasions. It is said that she can pipe roses in her sleep. But we think working 8 hours a day is enough. Order ahead or pick up a fresh cake at Schnucks Bakery. And don't forget our freshly baked cookies. This week, get a package of 12 cookies for just $3.99 or less. Schnucks. fresh every day.
Club Fitness has something for everybody. Spring is around the corner, so choose your fitness journey with free enrollment or no contract when you join in March. Winter is ending and I see the light. St. Louis is thawing out and I'm ready for working out. And with 24 locations where you work or live and 24-hour access, working out has never been easier. Spring it on, Club Fitness. Get free enrollment or no contract when you join in March. Go to clubfitness.us for more information. Some restrictions apply. See club for details.
Hello, St. Louis. For over 75 years, our family has been making transportation dreams come true.
Shop Johnny Londoff Chevrolet 24/7 at Londoff.com.
Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, a name you know, a dealer you can trust.
Johnny Londoff Chevrolet.
Dan, do you know who sings the who the male vocalist is that sings Johnny Londoff Chevrolet? You know who that is?
No, I don't.
Marty Bronson. Ooh. Marty Bronson passed away years ago, but he had a daytime talk show in St. Louis, and he was locally. He was kind of our. You know, every city has that lounge singer, and I don't mean that in a bad way. The Vic Damone, mm-hmm. That was Bronson. He was the Tuxedo Steve Lawrence kind of singer. Pretty good.
Tony Viviano is like that now.
Yeah, here exactly. Louis, yeah. Same way. Ken Flack has passed away. Ken Flack was a big deal tennis player. Went to Kirkwood High School and on to SIU Edwardsville. And he died apparently this morning at 54.
Whoa.
And this is another one of those didn't realize he had pneumonia. This pneumonia thing. You know, he thought he had bronchitis, finally goes to the hospital, and within 24 hours, his organs are shutting down. So Ken Flack was a doubles champion, to say the least. He won four Grand Slam men's doubles titles, two Wimbledon, two U.S. Open, two Grand Slam mixed doubles titles, the Wimbledon and the French Open, won the men's doubles gold medal at the 88 Olympics in Seoul, and reached the world's number one doubles player ranking in 1985. He played doubles on the U.S. Davis Cup team, 85 to 91. And I mean, 36 doubles titles, 34 men's doubles, two mixed doubles. Pretty impressive. And it's not a name that most people know, but I thought we should mention it because he is a St. Louis guy. He was a great tennis player. And he... In 2010, not even quite 8 years ago, he married Christina Flack. She was a, her name is Flack now, obviously. She was a celebrity makeup artist. And again, gone at 54 from pneumonia, Ken Flack. The only reason that I've heard that name, look, for as little as I know about sports, in our household, the sport is tennis because my wife played high-level tennis. She's a 5-0 player, for those of you who know the rankings. That's a very good player. And then, of course, my daughter, and I haven't talked about it for a long time because I don't like it when people brag about their kids, but I'm trying to explain to you why I do follow tennis a little bit. I'm not nearly as knowledgeable about it as I should be, but my daughter, at the age of 15, a freshman, was the Missouri State champion, and by the time she was 17, 18, she was ranked the 8th best player in the world, 18 and under. So that's a pretty big deal. And then, of course, went on to college, full scholarship, university. She went to Georgia Tech first year. And by the way, when she was there, okay, I will brag. When she was at Georgia Tech as a freshman, they won the NCAA championships. They had never even made it to the quarterfinals before that. And I don't think since she's gone they've ever made it to the quarter, certainly not the semifinals. And I went up to the coach at Georgia Tech. We went to see that championship match, and I went up to him, and I got him off the side. I said, look, I know you're not supposed to really say this, but let's just be honest here. My daughter blows into Georgia Tech, and boom, you win something you've never won before. It's all about her, isn't it? He said, it's a team sport. I said, yeah, but, you know, she comes on the team, and look what happens. I'm trying to get him to say, and he was a perfect coach. He just kept saying, it's a team sport. And then as I walked away, he said, your daughter is tremendous. So She leaves Georgia Tech after just 1 year because it's a tech school. She's not. She went there for the coach, and she just saw an opportunity to do something great, and she did. Then the sophomore, junior, and senior years were at University of Texas in Austin. And for those of you who've been to Mizzou, because Mizzou to me is like a real college town. I mean, people that go to Mizzou generally love Mizzou. They like the campus. They like go to Austin, Texas. Oh my goodness, that place. They're crazy for sports in Austin, Texas, especially football, but even tennis. So she finished out her time there. She never went to traditional high school. She went to high school 1 year, and that was a freshman. That's when she won the state championship, and she went to MICDS. And I never liked that she went there. Nothing against the school, but we're not private school country club people, and it always bothered me that I had a daughter in a private school like MICDS, because we're just not, that's just not our crowd. But she had to, and to their credit, that year was a good year for her because that was the year she won the Missouri State Championship, but she had to go to private school because no public school would let her skip class and work around her the way they would at a private school. She would have been expelled. So she went there, and then the next 3 years of high school, there was no high school. She was privately tutored, and what you might find interesting is her high school was Mizzou. Mizzou has a fantastic high school course, but you have to get an approved teacher, somebody they approve of, who knows the curriculum, who knows how it works, and that person signs off on all your work so that you graduate with a high school diploma from Mizzou. So that's what she had to do. So I've never actually told that whole story, and I hope it didn't bore you folks, but when Ken Flack passed away, I realized that here I am talking about a tennis player most people have never heard of because tennis is the only thing I can sort of talk about. I still don't. Go ahead.
Have you ever met Dr. Rick Lehman?
Oh, sure. His daughter and my daughter played tennis together for years. They went out of state to the same training academy.
I didn't know if they were the same age or not. That's why I was asking. Because I know his daughters both won state tennis titles as well. And I didn't know if your daughter played against his daughters or if there was an age difference.
I don't remember the age difference, but they played together a lot. And they probably played each other. Yeah, he's a big deal orthopedic guy.
Do you know what he did for his daughters for their tennis careers as high school students?
Something probably pretty outrageous because he lives big, you know? What'd he do?
He lives in a really, really nice, like, million-dollar home in Ladue.
I've been in his house.
He built big-time horse owners do this in Kentucky for the trainers of their million-dollar stallions. He built a three-bedroom, two-bath house on his property in Ladue so that he could then hire a tennis coach to live there full-time while his daughters went through high school.
No, that doesn't...
So they would have an on-site tennis coach every day that actually lived on the grounds where they lived. It was unbelievable.
Well, he's a very successful orthopedic surgeon.
Really nice guy,
sports
too.
Medicine, and his wife is a very successful plastic surgeon. His wife sewed my face up when I had to have my face sliced open. She sewed it up and did a masterful job. So,
It's a fascinating sport. When I went and watched his daughters just hit, I couldn't believe. I had never stood next to a tennis court and seen a big-time match before. So watching those girls, it's unbelievable the speed.
Because most people think of it as just sort of a...
Yeah.
In a casual... No, there's power there.
It's amazing.
They slam that
even
ball.
At the high school level, it was really one of the most amazing... All the sports events I've ever seen and things I've seen... Watching that high-end, high-caliber state championship high school girls tennis players just practice, the speed of it was one of the most amazing things I've seen in my life.
I'll tell you a real quick great story. This is one of the things that sometimes you do things and you're real proud of yourself, you know. And there was a practice at, I won't name the country club, but it's a well-known, long-time, goes back, you know, decades established country club that's known for not just letting everybody in there. Let's put it that way. So my daughter and I think about four or five other students of this particular coach, one of the kids' parents, I guess, belonged to this country club, and they needed a place to practice for a big tournament, and all the courts were busy. So they said, well, I checked with the club, and you can all go you know, to where we belong and use those courts. So I went there to watch my daughter hit. And I'd never been, you know, to this country club. I'm not a country club guy. And everything was fine until the arrival of one of their friends, another player who's a black girl. And she goes out on the court and they start hitting, and the manager of the country club restaurant comes over to the coach and says that some of the patrons are complaining because it's too noisy. And so he tells me, we're going to have to shut this down and leave. And I said, why? He said, no. I said, hold on a second. We've been here an hour making the same exact amount of noise. And now all of a sudden it's too loud. I said, that's not what this is about at all. So I went in the restaurant and I got the manager. And I said, would you tell me again why it is we need to leave? He said, well, noise. I said, no. Well, tell me the truth. And I said, there's the truth right there. And I pointed to the black girl. I said, you know, I'd heard about this place. And I had heard about the bigotry. My goodness, I'm still in shock here. Look at her. Look at her. She's a high-level player. She's a wonderful girl. You got to be kidding me. And he would never admit what was so obvious. The minute she arrived, a couple of those people, what's she doing here? She can't be a member here. She's playing. How about that? It wasn't 2018, but it was still, come on. It wasn't 1960. It still goes on. Don't think it doesn't. All right, about to do another quick bit of business here. That's going to be the business of MD Health and Wellness. MD Health and Wellness that's the place where they showed me how to lose 35 pounds effectively and safely with doctor supervision. They are now in the bioidentical hormone replacement business. This is a huge industry, and for good reason. Bioidentical hormones, what that simply means is when you put those hormones in your body accepts them willingly, but because your body cannot tell any difference from that testosterone and estrogen and what your body produces. It is molecularly structured. It is absolutely identical. It's the same exact thing that your body produces, only it produces less of it when you get middle-aged. And ladies, I am no expert on you, but I will tell you this, and this is something I feel like I have to share. It's really personal and doesn't seem like it'd be part of the show, but I have to establish some credibility here, and it comes from my wife. My wife went through menopause in her 40s. And I don't know a lot about it, but I know, ladies, I know you sweat those hot flashes and stuff, and it's miserable, and you're grouchy and crabby and tired and all that goes with that. The women who don't have to go through that, and she didn't for long, once a friend of hers started talking to her about hormone replacement, and it changed her life, and it still does, and it does for men. We lose testosterone after the age of about 45, and there's a laundry list of things that I could go over with you about, you know, what this does and how it does it. You know, now you're all of a sudden you're tired, and there's not as much intimacy with you and your partner. You just don't have the libido, the sex drive. Sometimes you can't remember stuff. Hot flashes, can't sleep. Bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. They're doing this working along with the Hormone Therapy Centers of America. MD Health and Wellness is a partner of theirs. And what happens is you're given an accurate dose based on your blood work and see how low your levels are. They need a medical history, and they want to know your symptoms. And then they implant these pellets. They're pellets, a little bigger than a grain of rice, and put right under the skin in your buttocks, because that's where you got plenty of extra fat. And they release these hormones over the course of 4 to 6 months. Now, I'm a person who likes to get some idea what things cost. So I will tell you roughly what you're looking at here. The pellets will last 4 to 6 months, time release. Cost you about 100, round numbers, 100, 150 a month. Now, that is not to me, it's a lot of money if you just don't have it. But sometimes you don't have it, but you could. Other things take priority. Maybe it's not a priority for you to feel better or to lose weight easier or to have more sex drive. Maybe you don't care about that. I think most people do. And ladies, you're the most complicated of all. But these folks at MD Health and Wellness can, and this is a big expression, but can change your life. One of the doctors at MD Health and Wellness just told me this morning when they went to learn all about this and get trained to put in these pellets, he met a lady down in, I forget where he said he was, Houston or wherever it was, and they start talking, why in town? And he says, we're here for some seminars and bioidentical horn. And he mentioned pellets. She says, oh my goodness. He said, she's probably 55. She said, those things saved my life. Maybe not in the literal sense that she would have died, but she says, I have a different life because I discovered this stuff. So think about it. Go to the website. Find out all that they do at MD Health and Wellness. They're in Bridgeton. But who cares where they are? It'd be worth a 3-hour drive if you had to make it. You only got to do it every 4 to 6 months. MD Health and Wellness. Here's